On Education for Tuesday, May 24th, 2005, and I will open a work session on Senate Bill 5592. Ms. Manthey, could you do a presentation?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Senator Gordley. Senate Bill 5592 is the fee ratification bill for the Health Licensing Office. Yesterday I distributed the memo and the work session papers. I brought extras if you don't have those. The Health Licensing Office is a consumer protection agency responsible for the licensing and regulation of 9 health-related professions. Each time they bring a budget forward, they look forward to see how much revenue they need to collect, and they propose adjustments to those fees to cover the costs of regulation. Last session, they came forward and identified fees that need to be adjusted, and those are the fees that you see in Senate Bill 5592. In the first table on page 1, I've identified the fees that they actually changed. Again, these were proposed planned increases and approved by the last Legislative Assembly. On the next page, they had actually proposed fee increases that they weren't able to implement due to primarily programming changes. So I've identified those, and we're proposing amendments be made to the bill to remove these. The agency plans on implementing them July 1, 2005, and will bring those back to the 2007 legislature for ratification. So the Legislative Fiscal Office recommends that the cosmetology late fee increase and the establishment of the electrology facility fees be ratified, and that Senate Bill 5592 be amended accordingly.
Are there any comments by the administrator for LFO? Or not LFO. the health licensing, currently health licensing office. Mr. Marquis, either of the Mr. Marquis who represent the cosmetologists, you're in agreement with the fee adjustments, correct, that are being ratified? Any questions from the committee? Okay. I have barely a quorum here. So, is everybody fine with this bill at this point? Okay. Do I have a motion? There is a motion on the second page.
The second page
of the memo dated May 24th on 5592. The first motion is to, I can do it this way, the first motion is to move approval of the LFO recommendation.
Mr. Chair, I move approval of the LFO recommendation.
The LFO recommendation has been moved. Are there any objections? Hearing none, the motion passes. The final motion?
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 5592 be amended and reported out due pass as amended.
Okay. It has been moved that Senate Bill 5592 be amended and reported out due pass as amended. Are there any objections? Hearing none, motion passes. And we will open a hearing on SB 5591, the Health Licensing Office.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. Senate Bill 5591 is the budget bill for the Health Licensing Office. In the packet of information I distributed, there is a memo, a work session action report, and the performance measure form. Due to the size of the agency, I thought I would just go through the memo, which outlines the proposed changes to the governor's recommended budget, unless you have another preference. Great. The first package, 801, is the Legislative Fiscal Office Technical Adjustments Package. This package reduces the agency's budget by $21,664 to reflect the PERS and Attorney General rate reductions. The package also includes several line item adjustments that align the budget more closely to actual spending, and I've detailed those for you on page 1. The second package, 802, is titled Ways and Means Adjustments. This package restores the phase-out of the Board of Athletic Trainers. The Board of Athletic Trainers was due to sunset December 2005. House Bill 2058 repeals the sunset, and this package then restores the budget so that the Health Licensing Office can continue to support the Board of Athletic Trainers. The policy package is submitted by the agency in the governor's recommended budget. There are six of them. Two of them are fee-related. The first package, 090, is simply the smart buy savings of $7,099. The Legislative Fiscal Office recommends approval of this package. Package 101.
Sorry.
I didn't even notice.
I also open a work session on SB 5591.
Package 101 reclassifies three positions based on current duties and responsibilities. The Department of Administrative Services has determined that the reclassifications are warranted. We're recommending approval, however, have reduced the package by $224 to reflect the PERS rate reduction. Package 102 is titled Completion of IT Infrastructure Conversion in E-Government Projects. These represents one-time costs to continue the agency's infrastructure improvements. There's also a I noticed Ken Rock was sitting in the back of the room, so it's, you know, waked me out a little bit. But anyway, there are two projects to expand online services and e-commerce services. We're recommending approval of the package. However, have reduced it by $30,000 and realigned some of the line items. The package was put together about a year ago, and then working with the agency, the projected costs of these things have been fine-tuned. Therefore, we're recommending it be reduced by $30,000. Package 103, National Testing Contract, allows the agency to contract with the National Interstate Council of State Boards of Cosmetology. This will allow them to transition to the national tests. It will help them reduce barriers, allow folks in other states, this test recognized by 31 other states, folks who have sat and passed the test in one state then don't have to be retested in Oregon to receive their license. This will increase the current examination fee of $10 to $25, and we're recommending approval of this package. The next two packages are related to fees, therefore they have a revenue impact only. As I mentioned on the previous bill, the agency looks out over all their fees as they're building their budget. The first package, 201, they've determined that next biennium they can reduce fees for the athletic trainers, direct entry, midwifery, and electrology. This will reduce revenue by approximately $42,000. Package 202 is the package that contains the revenue associated with the previous bill. These are the fees that they increased administratively this biennium and are proposing to increase on July 1, 2005, and it's expected to generate $678,000. The Legislative Fiscal Office recommends an other funds budget of $5,043,894 and 27 positions, 27 FTE, and that Senate Bill 5591 be amended accordingly.
You might comment, I think it's in your report also, that 70% of the fees that for the Health Licensing Office come from cosmetologists.
Mr. Chair, would you like
yes.
a motion
yes.
at this time? Mr. Chair, I move approval of the LFO recommendation.
It's been moved to approve the LFO recommendation. Any discussion?
Yes, Senator Whitsett.
Mr. Chair, just a couple of questions. This is my understanding then in the package 101 that essentially these three individuals get approximately $5,000 a year pay increase, salary increase.
The 30,000, Mr. Chair, Senator Whitsett, that would recommend, that represents 24 months worth of expenditures.
Yes. Okay. So there's three of them.
People.
It's a $10,000 a piece for a biennium, so about $5,000 a year increase.
I think in total,
yes.
In total compensation
yes.
it would be. about $5,000 apiece.
This is total case. Compensation or just a salary increase?
This is total. Can it since you're, it's total?
Yes.
It should be total.
Yes.
Okay.
And then, on the 103, we're talking about increasing the examination fee by 150%.
Yes, sir. Mr. Chair, Senator Whitsitt, that represents the cost to the agency by the national organization to receive the test, and the agency is then passing that along to the licensee.
Jordan, outsider looking in here, we're spending $281,000 to purchase something that is going to cost us 150% more than what we've done before.
If the director might want to comment.
Mr. Chair, the director isn't here.
Okay.
But Ron Riggs, the budget officer for the agency, is here.
I'm Ronald Riggs, fiscal division manager for the Health Licensing Office. Senator Devlin, Senator Whitsitt, that is correct. It does represent in percentage terms 150%. In real terms, it's from, what, $15 to $25, or
$10 to $25.
But the advantage that it gives the practitioners is that they will now qualify to practice in other states when they move without having to take the test and requalify in those other states. It also simplifies the process of new people coming to Oregon will not have to retake the
test. Give that reciprocity to all states and that use that same test?
Yes, there's about 31 states right now that use the same test.
Thank you.
Senator Whitsitt, anything additional?
And then just on package 202, we're ratifying here something that has already been done, is that correct? We're clarifying that they have the right to raise these fees.
I believe that is correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And again, the fees were presented with their 0305 budget, Senator Whitsitt. And so they had notified the previous legislature that they were going to have to increase fees because they increased them administratively. They need to bring them back and have you ratify those increases.
They were authorized to raise the fees by the last legislature, and we're simply accepting that. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Anything additional? Okay, it's been moved to approve the LFO recommendation. Any additional discussion? Hearing none, any objections to the motion? Seeing none, motion passes. Performance measures.
The agency submitted 9 performance measures. And my question to you, Mr. Chair, is do you want me to read through each of these? Or would you like me to hit the highlight about what we're recommending for changes?
Ms. Manthi, you've been doing an excellent job, but I believe all of my members can read.
Okay.
And so if you would highlight some of the issues that have come forward, that would probably be beneficial.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Like you said, the agency did originally submit 9 performance measures, which you reviewed during the public hearing process. We're recommending that we add the 2 standard customer service measures, which are listed as number 10 and number 11. The agency requested that number 5 be deleted as part of their presentation. We're recommending that in fact number 5 be deleted. 3 other measures, measure 3, measure 4, and measure 8, as we discussed in the public hearing, are good measures and they provide good data for management, but we're recommending that they would be deleted and kept internally, therefore not reported to you each biennium. And the only other change is number 6. Since it was a customer service measure, we are recommending that it be deleted since we've added the 2 standard customer service measures.
Is there a motion?
Mr. Chair, I move approval of the LFO recommendation.
Any discussion? It has been moved that we approve the LFO recommendation. Are there any objections? Hearing none, motion passes. Is there a final motion on the bill?
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 5591 be amended and reported out, do pass as amended.
Any discussion? It has been moved that SB 5591 be amended and reported out, do pass as amended. Will you call the roll?
Senator Gordley?
Aye.
Senator Walker?
Aye.
Senator Gibson? Aye.
Senator Edmund? Aye. Motion passes. Do we have a volunteer? I probably prefer that the volunteer carry both bills. Senator Gordley? Thank you. Oh, you're here from the little 466. I was wondering. Okay. Would you call Representative Farr's office and let her know that we're starting on this bill? Okay. I will open a public hearing on SB 467 relating to summer lunch programs. Mr. Rocco.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 467 came to you from the Senate Education and Workforce Committee.
Oh, Representative Farr, she wants to testify.
I provide you with a staff measure summary that illustrates what that committee did with the bill. It was referred to Ways and Means by prior reference. Then, because of the split of the Ways and Means Committee, it was referred back to the desk and then came to the Senate Budget Committee. The measure requires the Department of Education to reimburse school districts, government agencies, and community groups for lunches served during summer as part of the summer food service program. It also appropriates $150,000 of general fund to the Department of Education for the reimbursement of these summer lunch programs. Reimbursement is at 5 cents per meal. So it's estimated to cover approximately 3 million meals in the two-year period. There was a similar bill passed last session, Senate Bill 287. I just for the record would like to note that this was a policy package in the Department of Education's agency request budget, but was not included in the governor's budget. And that's a summary of the bill, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Rocco. Senator Walker.
I need Mr. Rocco to repeat that. The agency had it in their budget, but the governor did not put it in his recommended budget?
That's correct.
The agency listed it as one of their policy packages, but the governor chose not to actually fund it. I would state that in discussions with Senator Schrader, this is a very significant item in terms of its impact on young people, but it is a relatively insignificant item in terms of the dollars that the co-chairs are talking about in terms of their deliberations on budgets. So actually, neither co-chair actually included it in their proposed budgets. But Senator Schrader has assured me we found some additional savings in some agencies within this budget that aren't in theirs, that there are resources that they have not been counting on, and that we will have the resources to fund this package. And my expectation is that the House leadership will find those resources also to fund the package.
Yeah.
That's at least my hope.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
This bill came out of my committee, as Mr. Rocco indicated. And I see Ms. Lowe is in the room, and I have a great quote from her that if she signed up to testify today, I'm going to steal it from her because I just want to start off the hearing that way. She said that hunger doesn't take a vacation. And the heaviest month at the food bank is in July because kids have no place to eat. So with that, Mr. Chair, I think you're in for a really good hearing on this bill.
Well, with that, we will start off by calling up Representative Farr. And sorry it's taken so long to get this before a budget committee, but we're still in time.
Thank you very much for having me here. For the record, my name is Debbie Farr. I'm State Representative in District 14. And I'm here to testify on Senate Bill 467. Oregon continues to be one of the hungriest states in the nation. Nearly one in five children in Oregon live in a food insecure home. Thousands of low-income children are able to access free and reduced-price lunches during the school year. Unfortunately, during the summer months, only 19% of children eating free and reduced-price lunches during the school year eat free meals during the summer. Over 3,000 additional children accessed summer meal sites last summer compared to the previous summer. Senate Bill 467 expands access to healthy meals through the federally funded summer lunch program and allows for more hungry kids to have access to food. And let me just leave you with this quote. There are a lot of dumb ways to save money, but not feeding kids is about the dumbest.
Thank you very much, Representative. Philip Kennedy, I believe it's Wing or Long.
Do you mind if
we,
there's a few of us that
might
come
up together? That would be fine, actually. Okay. And if you please identify yourself
for the record. Yes. For the record, Philip Kennedy Wong, representing EML, Ecumenical Ministries of Oregon. We are a state council of churches. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, thank you for this opportunity to testify on Senate Bill 467. I will keep my comments brief. We are in support of Senate Bill 467 for several reasons. Obviously, the most important reason is that it does benefit hungry children during the summer months. And as stated by Senator Walker, those are the times in which the food pantries are most busiest, especially those that are dealing with multiple services in which people do come for help, especially in religious-oriented social services. I have with me a list of 486 schools that was compiled that have over 50% of their student population that are eligible for free or reduced lunch, and that is a lot of schools. And clearly there is a huge need for summer food programs to exist to augment the food pantries, but also obviously the number of school children that will be going without during the summer months. Second, the other important thing where we like this bill is that churches are eligible to become a summer food program site. And for example, Ecumenical Ministries of Oregon has a summer food program, has an emergency food program at a church, and it would be a very good match to have the summer food program together, because that way not only will parents can come and get, you know, food through our emergency food program, but they can bring their children to benefit from the summer food program sites. And with that, we urge you to support Senate Bill 467.
Thank you. Patty Whitney Wise, the Director for the Oregon Hunger Relief Task Force. This bill builds on a bill that was passed last session that provided a little bit of money for the highest need summer food sites and also created a committee to look at what would boost participation in Oregon summer programs. And one of the things we found is that many school districts do have a hard time providing the meals during the summer. They don't have the same volume as during the school year, and so they need a little additional financial help, especially with all the cuts in school funding that have happened over the last few years. It's very hard for them to come up with extra money to provide that service during the summer. But schools are ideally situated to be able to do it. They know how to cook the meals. They've worked with the kids. And so we feel this 5 cents a lunch is that boost that's needed for many of these districts, that little bit of incentive to get them involved in the program. We're doing that, for instance, in North Clackamas for the first time this year. There are other districts as well where that little bit of a boost would make a big difference for them in being able to provide good meals to the kids during the summer, and we urge your support of this bill.
Thank you very much. Any questions? Seeing none, thank you very much. Kate Pota and Ellen Lowe. Ms. Kotek, I always like your appearances here, but Miss Lowe is definitely my favorite. So.
She is a difficult act to come up with.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, I'm Ellen Lowe. I'm a legislative advocate for the Oregon Food Bank, and Senator Walker is correct that hunger indeed doesn't take a vacation, so you can think of that in July when you may not be taking one either. But at least some children are going to be fed. I'll make my remarks very brief. You've heard about the summer being a time of real need for families because they don't have those school lunches or school breakfasts to help tide them over. And so the summer food program is exceptionally important to their nutrition, which is important to their being able to learn again in September. But I'd like to cite another benefit, which is in some ways collateral. And that's that food often then becomes the stimulus for children going to that recreation site where the bookmobile comes, where learning takes place, where there's some supervision. And so to me, one of the real assets of summer food then is not just the food, but it's really the growth it gives to that total child and their total needs during the summer, because so often it isn't just food that isn't available to them during the day, but it's often supervision as well. So I really encourage you to pass Senate Bill 467 on its way so we can indeed then get some added impetus to community-based and faith-based organizations as well as the education system to be part of that continuing service and presence for children during the summer. Thank you.
Chair Devlin, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Tina Kotek, Policy Director with Children First for Oregon. It's a pleasure to back cleanup on the advocate team here on this bill. First of all, thank you for hearing it. We know you have a lot of other agency budgets that you're dealing with, and this one is important to hear now and hopefully get it out before the end of the summer, because if we are able to provide supplemental dollars to all the food sites in the state, they're going to more likely to stay open, they'll feel appreciated, and that's going to be a good thing for kids this summer as well as next. In my testimony, there are two sheets attached. One is a list of the schools that received dollars through Senate Bill 287 last session. So you can see the sponsors and the ones who benefited from those dollars that went to the very high need areas. And then I also passed around a list that Philip referenced with all the schools who are 50% or more free or reduced during the school year. That's a 47-page list of schools. It's a very long list. And all those schools would be eligible for those dollars if they have a site. So this bill is really about public-private partnership, incentivizing programs to stay open and expand, the state really being a very committed partner to feeding children during the summer months. So we urge you to move this bill out and move it quickly, and we thank you for your support.
Any questions from the school back in this slide? Senator Whitson.
Chair Devlin, just for my information, what is the threshold for free or reduced cost lunches in schools?
For free, it's 130% of the federal poverty level. Reduced, 185%. And Chair Devlin and Senator Whitson, that's an excellent question. And Children First looks at low-income families, which is actually 200% of the federal poverty level, as being financially vulnerable. So we think there are a lot of, obviously from the list, a lot of children in the state who are living in households that don't know where that next meal is coming from. So it's a good threshold.
You're just saying that 200% of the poverty level is living in a home that you don't know where the next meal is going to come from?
Chair Devlin, Senator Whitson, I think it would be safe to say a lot of those homes are food insecure, meaning that they are one paycheck away from not being able to pay the rent. Food is often the most fungible item of a household budget. So at the end of the month, those families who are dealing with the cost of health care and child care and rent, often food is the last, is one of the things they have the most difficulty paying for, even if they are at a a slightly higher income level. So we would say that a lot of those households are indeed food insecure. They might not be going hungry, but they definitely are concerned about being able to put meals on the table, especially for children.
Senator Gordon.
Thank you very much, and thank you for your testimony. This question may be more appropriate for Mr. Kennedy Wong, but I know that both of you are so deeply involved in what this program looks like in our communities around the state. I'll try the question with both of you. The faith-based component, which I find very appealing, and I'm glad to hear that that component exists. But what will that look like out in our communities around the state this summer? As I look at the list of schools or sponsors participating in 2004, it doesn't appear that there are any faith-based organizations on the list. I could be wrong about that. But again, what would that faith-based piece look like? And I see Mr. Kennedy Wong raising his hand back there, so feel free to come back.
Mr. Wong, if you'd like to come forward.
He's walking up to Devlin, Senator Gordley, if I may. I think one of the issues for why you see mostly school districts and large nonprofits on this list is it is a difficult program to run. And one of the things that this bill will help do is help those programs stay operating and give them that sense that they could actually do this financially speaking. I think smaller nonprofits, smaller faith-based groups, often financially it's a real challenge for them to run this program with the federal reimbursement.
Mr. Chair, if I may just interject, Alan Wu,
yes.
I am aware that at least back when I was more involved in the faith-based community than I am now, that there were some congregations that were providing lunches. What they often did was do it in conjunction with, like in Portland, Park and Recreation, so it would be a combination program. And I knew of one in Lane County where it was the same way, where it was indeed the congregation and some of the volunteers who were then working with the recreation program, which has become very important to me, were also affiliated with the congregation.
Excellent. Thank you.
Mr. Wong.
Thank you, Senator Devlin and Senator Gordley. For the record, I'm Phil Kennedy Wong again. Right now, one of the things that we are doing is looking at ways in which we can partner right now with, say, like the Hunger Relief Task Force in identifying churches where there would be an interest and also the capacity to be able to set up a volunteer-run summer food program. I can say right now there is one particular church that I mentioned in my testimony, Redeemer Lutheran Church in Northeast Portland, where there is an existing program where we do have a base of volunteers that provides emergency food services. And with that sort of base of volunteers, it makes it a lot more easier for a summer food program to be implemented at a site like that. Now, obviously, I think it's going to look different from church to church, depending on what their capacity is and what their volunteers are. But I think, like most churches, there's a lot of extracurricular activities that are targeted, you know, towards children and parents. And this would be a great opportunity to bring together people within a sort of a neighborhood setting in a church. I can also see, parochial schools as being another opportunity where a lot of, obviously, parochial schools are connected to parishes and where, you can see a base of parents wanting to, set up a program and, build community relations, but at the same time, obviously, do the most important work of feeding hungry children during the summer months.
Very good. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Additional questions? Seeing none. Thank you very much. Is there anyone else in the audience who wishes to testify? Seeing none, with that, we will close the public hearing on SB 467, and I will open a work session on SB 467. Is there a motion?
Mr. Chair, where do you want to move the bill?
To the floor?
No, Mr. Rocco can give it as to the full committee with the due pass recommendation.
That would be correct. Yes.
Yeah. For the Senate Budget Committee. It's called the Senate Special Budget Committee. I don't know how special it is. But
Senate Special Committee on Budget. And without, there are no amendments before you, so.
With the due pass recommendation.
Correct.
Well, Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 467 to the Senate Special Committee on Budget with a due pass recommendation.
Are there any comments?
Yes.
Yes, Senator Walker.
I just wanted to put some things on the record. I was looking through my bill file, which is quite thick because we had a good hearing on this, and I wanted to put some information in the record from the Department of Education, and they indicated that in summer 2005, lunches will be reimbursed from federal funds at $2.48 each, and that with this bill, lunches will be reimbursed at $2.53. So we're just adding the 5 cents. But what I thought was interesting is that the bill from last session, Senate Bill 287, only reimburses sponsors for meals served to children at sites that are located in the lowest income areas. And so that was the goal of this bill, was to expand that, because there are children who are eligible for free or reduced price meals, as you can see, at 498 schools around the state. So that was one of the things the advisory committee wanted to do, and that's why you have that bill in front of you here. And I just wanted to make sure that we all understood that. That's a lot of schools in our state that serve free and reduced meals. And if you look in Senate Bill 329, Senator Whitsitt, you'll find a table that was provided to us on the floor the other day about the federal poverty level. And all that sticks in my mind is that 185% of the federal poverty level for a single person was $9,000 a year. So it's a little bit more for a family. That isn't a lot of money. So I would encourage you to look in that bill file to get your table out. My recollection is that 185% of the federal poverty level is about $9,000. Someone makes $9,000 a year for an individual.
That would be a whole lot less than minimum wage.
That's one person.
That'd be a whole lot less than minimum wage.
Yeah. Well, it is. And so I know that we got a chart given to us last week when we debated Senate Bill 329. And she might.
I think we have a chart here that we could actually.
Yeah, I looked in my bill file and I didn't see one.
I've seen the charts before.
Family of four is about 18,000.
Depends on the size of the family, obviously.
Family of one at 100% poverty is 9,000.
Oh, it's 9,000 at 100%.
85, it's about 17,000. But that tells you the difference.
Yeah, so, you know, at free, it's 130% of federal poverty level, according to Ms. Kotek, and 185% of FPL, you get a reduced price lunch. That's still pretty low income, and you're getting a reduced price lunch. So I think we're really doing something here for hunger in the state. We're getting a lot of bang for the buck. And I don't think there's anyone at this dais who disagrees with me on that.
Was that all, Senator Walker?
Yeah, that's all. I just wanted to get those things in the record, and that the department did support that, according to Mr. Rocco, and what's in my notes.
I think also one of the items that was testified on when we were considering the Department of Education budget during Phase 1 and Phase 2, that is over a little period, slightly more than a decade, the number of school children in Oregon that had went from reduced and free lunch went from 30% to now about 40%.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously 4 out of 10 Oregon school children are from relatively low-income families.
And Mr. Chair, this additionally, this 5 cents a lunch can serve up to 3 million more lunches.
Yeah.
That's a lot of lunches. That's a feeding a lot of hungry children.
Are there any additional comments?
A question. Mr. Chair, what is your sense of how quickly we can move Senate Bill 467 through the process, since summer is just around the corner?
My expectation would be that we will move it out today. I would believe if it's possible, the chair would be willing to possibly put it on the agenda if we are meeting on Friday. It would be on the Senate floor sometime next week. And I believe Representative Farr and others will be trying to get her her chamber to proceed as expeditiously as we are trying to.
Very good. Okay.
That's my expectation. So, any additional comments?
Just one. Yes. I mean, I support the bill. I just think what we're talking about, we're not talking about solving the underlying problem. Mm-hmm. All this is a Band-Aid. I mean, people need jobs. We have 4 out of 10 of our children are in the poverty level. That's a very bad sign for the state of Oregon.
With that, there is a motion on the floor to report this bill out to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Would the assistant please call the roll?
Senator Gordley?
Aye.
Senator
Nelson? Aye.
Senator Walker?
Aye.
Senator
Whitsitt?
Aye.
Senator Devlin? Aye. Motion passes. Mr. Rocco, Senator Schrader and I have an understanding that I will carry it to the full committee and be recommending to Senator Schrader that I will carry it to the floor, but I will only be, use our terms, I will be only the pony carrier. Senator Deckert will be the other co-carrier, and Senator Deckert will close. So he wants a Ways and Means Committee member to actually carry it to the floor for the financials, but Senator Deckert will be doing the presentation on the floor, and others of you here are obviously free to speak on the floor, but I will be doing largely just the financials. So
we can make that happen, Mr. Chair.
With that, we are almost ready to close this meeting. Next week, we obviously have a holiday on Monday, and we do not know at this point what is scheduled for Tuesday. We only have one day that this committee meets next week. To give you an idea of where we're at, we have left in the committee the Department of Education budget, grants and aid, community colleges workforce development, community colleges workforce development capital, Oregon University System, Oregon University System capital, Oregon Student Assistance Commission, OHSU. We still have the miscellaneous boards bill, which is we have that other issue to deal with, and then any policy bills that the chair refers to this committee. We do not know at this stage. I think the next bill that we will attempt to move, an actual bill, will be the Department of Education. But that will not be ready for next week, so I cannot actually tell you what will be on the agenda next Tuesday. I'm trying to ask the chair that we maybe do a little bit of review of the OUS capital so that we get more abreast of that issue, because those issues tend to come up in the closing days of the session. So the more we can get abreast of the capital issues, probably the better. But none of the other budgets are ready at this particular time to move. So with that, we are adjourned until next Monday afternoon. Sorry.